Appreciate you.
Matthew chapter number 14. I appreciate what Brother Steve said about my father-in-law. Everywhere we've had an opportunity to be about the last year, we've tried to ask churches to pray for him. He does need to be saved. His name's Gwen Holly. If you wouldn't mind, I wish you'd write his name down where you'd be reminded every day to pray for him. He needs to be saved, needs the Lord Jesus. Hadn't this week been a blessing? I mean, beyond a blessing. It's every message, every bit of testimony has been a real help to my heart. Tuesday, I told Brother Steve on the phone this morning, Tuesday, about all I could do was just bawl. And there have been some things that the Lord's been speaking my heart about as of late. And when Jordan shared his testimony about what God did for him through the pianos and selling two to buy one and God working out the way he did all the way through to everything that was done Tuesday morning to the lady with the Renfros, yes, with the trouble with the car. Yeah. I tell you, God, it was like he just took a loudspeaker and just shouted right to my heart all morning. All I could do was weep. It's good to be under the tabernacle, and we'll begin a reading in just a moment, but it's good to see Brother Keith Purser. I was sitting back there this morning after walking by and shaking his hand. I sat down and I thought, Brother Keith, 1992, met you in 1992, and he's been a friend of preachers over the years. It's good to see him be able to be in the meeting this week. Let's stand together. Familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter number 14, beginning with verse number 22. We're very thankful for all the accommodations and all the blessings that has been mine and my wife's in coming this way this week. I'm interested this morning in what every Christian will find in the storms of life. Very familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew 14, beginning with verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Whatever Christian will find in the storms of life. Father, we pray that you'll bless the reading of your word. Now bless the preaching of thy word. We're nothing without thee. We're keenly aware of our unworthiness to stand. Lord, I pray that you'll do what certainly we cannot do. Illuminate our hearts and minds together around the word of God. I pray we'd be drawn closer to thee. Father, I pray for each one who's here today, every home, every ministry represented, Lord, I pray that you'll have thine own way. Now, Lord, I would pray that thou might grant to us wisdom that comes from above, clarity of thought, and clarity of speech, that we could preach pleasing to thee. I pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Continue to bless Brother Steve and Brother Jamie and Brother Rule. Thank you for these men. I pray that you'll bless them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A little over a year ago, I was preaching through the life of Simon Peter. And of course, when I got to this particular experience, while I was preaching through the life of Simon Peter, I tried to not magnify all of his littleness and weakness and those type things. I was afraid that while I was doing that, I might magnify my own. But what I was interested in were those places where the Lord was doing a work right under Simon Peter's nose, and he didn't even realize it. Amen. When he saved him, he said, "Thou art Simon." And he told him who he was, and he told him what he was going to make out of him. Probably nobody realized just what the Lord was going to do with him. But God's a working, isn't he? He's always working in our lives. When I came to this passage, I just, in my own heart, I reminisced over some storms along the way. And there seemed to be some things that we just kept standing out to me. So rather than dealing with the walk on the water and Simon taking his eyes off Jesus and beginning to sink, I just took some things that are very obvious out of this passage and tried to develop them. We find a lot of things in the storms of life. There are plenty of tears. There are plenty of pressures and plenty of heartache in the storms of life. But you can take comfort in knowing the Lord is there in the storms of life. You can take comfort in some principles that are found in this passage as well as others in the Word of God as you come to the storms and the trials of life. Now, first of all, just to get right into the message, the first thing you'll find in the storms of life, child of God, is the providence of God. Amen. It is no accident that Simon is where he is. It is no accident that the other disciples are where they are. It is in the good providence of God that we find ourselves in this particular area of Scripture on the sea in the midst of a storm. The providence of God is seen, number one, in our Lord's command. Verse number 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." Amen. There's design in our Lord's command. Number one, in the fact that he sent the multitudes away. You know that one of the companion passages to this passage is John chapter number 6. You remember the multitudes have been fed. Jesus took the few fish and loaves and he blessed and he broke. The more he blessed, the more he broke. The more he broke, the more he blessed. And continued to pass out. And you'll remember as long as the kitchen was going good, everybody was with him. But then a number of times he began to take that bread and liken himself. And then he makes one of those great I am declarations in John chapter number 6. He said, "I am the bread of life." As long as something's going on in the kitchen, they're with him. But when he gets in the pulpit, they begin to turn and walk away. And, of course, their motives were not right. So he sends the multitudes away in the midst of it all. They needed to be sent away. Everything that is loud and everything, and I like loud, but everything that is loud is not necessarily of God. It ought to be measured by the Word of God. It ought to be measured in light of eternity. It ought to be measured alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. If it magnifies man, then you ought to just lay it aside. A lot of folk talking about the Holy Ghost these days. He's talking about Jesus. And he always will talk about Jesus. His name is not given in Scripture. We have a number of his designation and titles. His name is withheld that he may magnify the name that is above every name. But our Lord's command, you find design in his command as he sends the multitudes away. Then number two, as he sends his own men away. You remember there's a hype and there's frenzy. They want to fan the flame. They want to make him king. The multitudes do. And had his own men, had they got caught up in the hype of it all, no telling where they might have drifted to. Isn't it amazing how the Lord brings us to some things in life and then how he keeps us from, he prevents us from some places in life as well. There's design found in his sending his own men away. He's keeping them from something. Again, I'm for shouting. As a matter of fact, I haven't in this meeting, but I'm for running. And I have insurance on my automobile and on my home, but I don't have it on my body. So if it gets on and I start running, I have been known to be a little clumsy. I don't have insurance on my body. Just get out of the way. But sometimes we need to know what we're going to do when the shout dies down, when camp meeting's over. When the high service has passed, what are you going to do when the bills come due? What are you going to do when you go visit the doctor and he gives you bleak news? What are you going to do when the child makes a bad decision? We're real people and we live in a real world. And so in the providence of God, we see his command. There's design in his command. He's keeping his own disciples from some things.
He sends the multitudes away. They've got the wrong matter on their mind as well. And then in his command, as he sends them away, he himself steals away. And the darling Son of God saw need for time to spend with the Father in prayer. How much more should we spend time? The secret place of the Almighty. How many times do you find yourself there? We need time with him. The providence of God is seen in our Lord's command, but then in this particular case, you know as well as I that in Matthew there are twice that the disciples find themselves in a storm on the sea. In the first storm, you'll remember that Jesus is asleep in the ship. That first storm drove them to him. They asked the question, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" What a foolish question. When we get into God's heaven, we shall be, of course, convinced that no one ever cared for us like Jesus has cared for us. But the first storm drives them to him. This particular storm takes him to them. In this particular case, isn't it amazing the timing of our Lord? He comes in the middle of when it seems like the world is turned upside down, our worlds are turned inside out. Seems like he specializes in showing up on the scene. But this particular case is timing. Had he have gone, had he have sent them out earlier into the sea in the midst of a storm, perhaps they had not been able to handle the storm the way they did. Perhaps they had not survived just the way that they did. Our Lord's command, this particular case, I find sometimes that when things come my way and the wind begins to blow and the waves begin to mount, that our Lord's timing is perfect timing. He knows today as I go through a storm today that he's preparing my heart for storms of tomorrow in this particular case, but also their concordance. In other words, their position. Their location is their destination. It's no accident. Again, it's no accident that they are where they are. When they board the ship and where they'll get off of the ship. Now, beloved, if you'll study where they got on and where they get off, it clips the northeast corner of the sea. But now the wind and the waves have pushed them into the midst of the sea. Again, it's no accident that they are where they are. I tell you one thing, it brings great comfort to me, Brother Rod, is when I find myself in the midst of a storm, it's to know that he's brought me here. That he knows, he's keenly aware of where I am. Just to know that he knows. I tell you, does my heart good. You say, "Preacher, where is he at?" Well, according to verse number 24, he's in the midst of the sea. What a dangerous place to be. If you've ever been on a lake, a large body of water, the water ever begins to white cap, you better hope you're on land. And here the water's white capping. It's threatening to take them down. They know the sea. Some of them are fishermen. The rest of them are familiar with the sea. They've been around it most of their life. And the sea being turbulent the way that it is, beloved, I tell you, they know they're in a dangerous place. Only God himself can deliver them from where they are. It's also a dark place where they are. It's in the fourth watch of the night. Now you know as well as I, that's the darkest time of the night. Brother Ronnie Cooper's not here this morning. He is sat right over here on my right and your left, up close to the front. I was down preaching it where he pastors in revival services back last year. And I was preaching on crossing the valleys of life. And a dear lady, there were several, came to me at the close of the service. This dear lady, you could tell that much hardship had left their mark on her countenance. She kind of just stood back quietly, and then after everybody kind of cleared out, she stepped forward. She began to weep a little bit. She said, "In 10 months' time," she said, "I buried my dad." She said, "I buried my husband, and I buried my daughter," and said, "I want to testify to what you preached on here tonight." She said, "He is faithful. He has shown himself in the midst of my dark hour." I'm telling you, he does the same for me as well, does he not, you? Amen. Beloved, their concordance, their position, their destination, their location, where they are. It's also a distressing place. Verse number 24, the Bible says that the wind was contrary. It means it's hitting them in the face. They're still striving. They're still struggling to do what the Lord told them to do. You've heard the old saying, "I've taken one step forward, but seems like I get knocked two steps back." So it is in the life of these disciples. They're rowing, but the wind is hitting them in the face. Beloved, the psalmist wrote, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. They're trying to move forward, but it seems that they cannot. Until you can get to services like this, and it seems like the devil in the world itself is knocking you back. Then get in on a service like we did last night and be reminded that the glory of God is seen in the goodness of God. Amen. Brother Stroud preached last night and took the goodness of God in Brother Dagenhart's life before his eyes right here in front of us all. I'm telling you, the Lord just marched his goodness before my life as well. I tell you, though we find ourselves in distressing places, our Lord has not forsaken us. What do you find in the storms of life? You'll find the providence of God. God arranging and rearranging in our lives. Number two, you'll find the protection of God. That storm has its barriers. And so it is in their life, and so it is in your life and in mine. The waves may come, but they can only come so far inland. They may attack, but they can only attack for so long. Everything that comes our way has to pass the desk of God. There's nothing, according to the book of Job, that comes our way but what God doesn't already recognize it and allow it to be so. I tell you, sometimes we think we have much to lose in the storms of life. I tell you, God's brought you too far, child of God. He stands more to lose in this thing than we do. He's not turned his back on you now. He'll not turn his back on you from here on, and neither. There is the protection of God, though it's in the fourth watch of the night. Though he's up on a mountain about to make his way to the disciples, he still sees them. Aren't you glad that the Lord knows who we are? He knows where we are. He knows our favorite color. He knows our social security number. He knows all about us. You say, preacher, does he know where I am? Has he forgotten me? Oh, no, dear heart, he hadn't forgotten you. You're the apple of his eye, child of God. He sees and then he hears. He hears the cries of his own in the midst of the storm that they are now facing. You say, preacher, does he care? Oh, yes, he cares. We know he cares. Frank Graff, after going through a period of physical pain and despondency, you know the words to the song that he sat down and he penned after opening his Bible to 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He sat down, God gave him the words to that song that we sing. Oh, does Jesus care when my heart is pain? Too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. And then with a resounding affirmation, he takes his pen back to the page and says, oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. My heart is touched, his heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. It does my heart good this morning just to know that he cares. I'm glad he cares for me. When everybody else has walked out, I tell you, he's never made a move to leave. He's never darted in another direction. He's never seen me coming down the aisle and turned to go another way. He's the dearest friend I've ever had. Isn't it amazing how it's Simon that writes, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you, even beginning to sink in the text. Jesus still cared for Simon. He's more interested in you than you are yourself. Aren't you glad the Word of God teaches us he feels? You say, can he be touched? Oh, yes, he can be touched. I'm interested in these days, and the older I get, and the high priestly work of our Lord, that he intercedes on behalf of us. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Some few years back, my wife and I was headed to a meeting over in the state of Oklahoma. Some preachers in our area go over that way and preach a lot. We'd been invited to go, and we were going to leave on a Saturday morning, get out there before bedtime on Saturday night. I got a phone call on Friday night. A man in our area, his little boy had picked a handgun up at his granddaddy's house and was going to move it to the nightstand. He looked down the barrel of it. It went off and sent the child into eternity. And the brother of the dad of that child called me on Friday night. And he said, mentioned the dad's name. He said, he's locked himself in his son's room. We can't get him to come out. We don't think he's going to do himself any harm, but thought it might be good if you'd come by. Could you come by in the morning? I, of course, went by. We postponed our trip until that Monday. When I went over there, I told him, I said, I wish I could open my heart and show you how bad I hurt with you. I sympathized with him. I tried to share scripture with him. We prayed. Whenever I got ready to leave, I was going out to under the carport, under the door of the carport. And there was another dad that was coming through the door. He had two little boys with him, I believe it was, and his wife. And I'll tell you, when this dad, when his eyes met the eyes of this man entering into his house, they got in another world. You see, this daddy that's now coming to make a visit, he bared a T-ball or two a couple years prior. He bared a young hero too. Now I'm telling you, he was able to feel what that daddy felt. They just kind of locked up together and were able to enter into one another's pain and infirmity. I said that to say this. You may be facing something today and speak to me about it, and I might have to say, I don't understand. But you can take your need to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say, Father, I hurt, and I feel as though I've been rejected, and that there's pain and grief in my heart. He says, I know how you feel. I've been right where you are. He's able to feel what we feel. You say, preacher, what do we find in the storms of life? The providence of God, the presence of God also as well. You'll notice when he comes, according to verse number 25, we've already said something about this. But he comes in the fourth watch of the night, the Bible says. I was going through a little something back in 2008, and Brother Dana Williams was preaching down the state of Florida. When they broke for lunch, he called and he said, preacher, I was just thinking about you. He said, in the middle of what y'all are going through, he said, an old-timer got up and preached on the fire this morning. Said he made the statement that the fire is the hottest just before it begins to die out. He said, preacher, hang in there a little while. He said, I know the fire's been a-burning, but he said, maybe it's just about to go out in your life. I tell you, you notice when he comes in the fourth watch of the night. They know the waves are there and the wind's there, but they can't seem to see him. And yet there he is in the midst of their trial. One preacher was stepped on board of a guided missile destroyer off the coast of Virginia a couple of years back. He said there was a military, high-ranking military official that was going to take him on a tour. He said before they crossed that bridge over to the ship, said that commanding officer said he turned and looked in a direction and said he saluted. And said then he turned and boarded the ship. And the preacher said, he said, I asked him after a little piece, he said, it puzzled me. He said, all I could see were buildings and that was in that harbor and ships that were in that harbor as well. He said, I asked him, said, I said, could I just ask you, said, there was no other commanding officer, there was no other soldier, no other military personnel. All I could see were ships that were in the harbor. Who did you salute to? He said, I know you couldn't see it, but the flag of the United States of America was flying just the other side of those ships. And said, though we couldn't see it, we know it's always there. He said, we always turn and salute. Hey, dear heart, sometimes you cannot see him. But I'll promise you, he's always there. He's always there, child of God, in the midst of our trial. He comes to them in the fourth watch of the night. There have been times I've wanted to give up. And I'm telling you, he'd show up on the scene. And the towel that I'd throw down, he'd pick it up and throw it right back at me. He'd let me know that he was there in the midst of my trial. You'll notice not only when he comes, but notice where he comes. He comes in the midst of the sea. He doesn't cry out from the shoreline. He doesn't go back up on the mountain and cry out from there. But he comes to where they are. Aren't you thankful for that truth, beloved? They couldn't do anything for themselves. They know it by now. In the fourth watch of the night, they're in the midst of the sea, and there he comes. You notice how he comes. He comes walking upon the sea. For time's sake, let me mention also that you'll find in the storms of life as a Christian, as a child of God, you'll find the purposes of God are operational as well. God's always up to something, isn't he? He's always doing something. I tell you, before you know it, that he will have done it. Before you realize, he was even at work. And beloved, you say, preacher, what are his purposes? Well, one of them is to take us farther than we've ever been before. We've all preached on the eagles, have we not? I've preached a series on the eagles, in the nest with the eagle, in the school with the eagles, and a couple of other messages. But you know, when that mother eagle gets in that eagle squad, and that little eaglet finally gets on her back and clutches, he's going on a ride like he's never been before. His world's going to be turned upside down. She'll take him up on the heights. He's not born to lay in that nest. And play around with his life. He's born to soar the heights, to ride that unseen wind, that unseen force. He's fascinated with that sun. She's going to teach him how to get closer. And she'll dump him up in the air. Of course, he'll fight for everything he's got. He'll soon learn to fly when he quits fighting that wind. And when he learns that he's built to soar, and I'll tell you what he's going to learn. He doesn't know it on that first trip outside the nest when his world is turned upside down. But he's soon to learn he's going places he's never been before. He's going to see things he's never seen before. He's going to hear things he's never heard before. And beloved, had he stayed in that nest, he'd have never got to go. Where is he headed now? And I tell you, the Lord knows what he's doing, does he not? And he's taken us farther than we've been before. And then it is to experience his touch in a way that we've never experienced before. I'll tell you, when Simon Peter began to sink, he knows immediately. You don't have to convince him of his inadequacy. You don't have to convince him in that moment how vile and wretched he is. You don't have to convince him of that. He had volunteered to testify to that end as he's sinking out there. Now, beloved, he's going to experience a touch in his own life like he's never experienced before. Can you imagine if you fast forward some time down the road and there's Simon Peter is. He shows up for a meeting. Some old mossback Baptist would have leaned over when he stood up and said, I'm sure he's going to tell us about walking on the water again. I'm sure he's going to preach his little sugar stick again. I'm sure he's going to have a shout and he knows when to pull the string. I can see him when he gets up and turns around and tears falling off of his face. And he says, I don't want to tell you about when I walked on the water. But I do want to tell you that when I began to sink and cried out, he picked me up and he carried me to where I needed to be. And I experienced his touch in a way that I'd yet to experience. Oh, beloved, I've been there as well, knowing of my inadequacy, and yet him touched me right where I was in the midst of my pain. And, beloved, experience him and experience his touch in a way that I never had been before. You know as well as I that we go through the trials and the storms of life also to help people in ways never imagined. Some of us under the tabernacle are cancer survivors. I'm one. And I'll tell you, through the years, I'd always tried to pray for those that were mentioned in our Wednesday prayer meetings for cancer and heart condition and diabetes. And you understand what I'm talking about? But I'm telling you, after knowing what a needle feels like to go in your chest and go through radiation and chemo, and after sitting across the doctor's table and him saying, yeah, big boy, it's you now, and you need to get the folk your pastor to praying, and ask God to help you. You're at stage 3 as far as we know right now. I'm going to tell you, whenever somebody mentions somebody for cancer, I may be writing another name down. My radar picks that up. I'll tell you, I empathize with them. And God lets you go through what he allows you to go through so that you might help another that comes this way. 2 Corinthians 1:4 bears that out. Let me mention lastly and briefly, what do you find in the storms of life? You'll find the promises of God to be intact. What God has promised you in the sunlight, beloved, still holds true in the dark hours of the night. Aren't you thankful for that? When the Lord Jesus tells Simon, Simon said, and we can all sit back and criticize him if we want to. Doesn't take much to stay in the boat and criticize. Doesn't take much to lay around and point your finger. Doesn't take much to do that. I'll tell you, it takes something to trust him. He said, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He said what he's always said to a man trying to get to him. He said, come on, Simon. He said, I know your heart. That's what I told you the day I saved you. I knew where you was headed. You come on to where I am. He told him to come, and I'm glad his word accomplished its purposes. I tell you, I'm like the psalmist, aren't you? I don't like storms any more than you do. But it is good for me that I have been afflicted. The Lord knows what he's doing. He always knows what he's doing. And he's always up to something. I read again the story just fresh this morning. I'll give it to you in brief. The story behind the hymn, God Leads His Dear Children Along. You remember the story how that Mr. Lilenus, he was an immigrant from Slovenia. And there was a dear Christian lady, taught him English and taught him how to read and write and speak in English. She also taught him about the Lord Jesus, and he was saved at a young age. She taught him this song, God Leads His Dear Children Along. He sung it about every day of his life. That dear lady had planted it in his soul, and so he He was very fond of the song. He soon learned that the writers to the song just live right close. And so then he learned that Mr. Young, who had penned the words to that song, that he had passed away, but that his wife was in a poorhouse a few counties over. So he went to interview her, sat down with her. And of course, she told how that the Lord had been so good to him. They didn't have much of this world's goods, but she said, but we had a lot of Jesus. And said, we'd travel, and said, my husband would preach. Said, all we wanted was a house. And said, we saved and we built a little shack of sorts, but said it was ours, and Jesus had blessed us with it. And said, my husband had preached against liquor, and said, while we were away preaching, said, somebody burn us out. Said, we didn't know it until we got back home. And she said, while I was weeping, said, he took my hand. Said, my dear husband, said, he took my hand. And said, let's thank him right now for things that people can't burn us out of and people can't take away from us. Said, let's thank him for that. She said, when God took him from me and said, when he died and he took him home, said, I didn't know what I'd do. Said, we didn't have anything. And said, that they put me in the county home here. And she said, I thought I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. But said, you know, said, I'm just as happy as I've ever been in life. She said, every now and then they bring people in here in the same condition I'm in. And said, I'll ask them if they know my Jesus. And said, they'll tell me a lot of times they don't know him. And said, I have the privilege of introducing them to my Jesus. The first verse in the chorus of that song, with this I'm done. And Mr. Young penned the words after their house was burned out by somebody that did not appreciate his stand against liquor. He wrote the words in shaded green pastures so rich and sweet, where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along, some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Amen. There are some things you'll find that'll help you through the storms of life.